friends, we are to have the privilege at this hour of Brother Tom Fay studying a little lesson with him on the topic of obedience. Brother Tom Fay of Los Angeles.
Where do you do that? I can park here all day.
I just received a correction concerning parking out here. He says it's all right to park here all day, so don't worry about the car. This being Saturday, I thought it wasn't. Tomorrow, I know, is all right, and Monday will be all right. And so you can park wherever you want today. Excuse me.
He didn't mean you could park here because I won't be here that long. It won't be for 1 hour, I think. Brother Nee was talking about feeling so shaky when he started his talk. Well, you know, I'm from a shaky country. We've been having shakes down our way, and I hadn't stopped shaking yet. I thought that this topic would be very fitting due to the fact that in this convention thus far, one of our brethren talked about the goodness and the severity of God. Then we had a talk of gratitude and thanksgiving. Well, we thought of obedience. And of course, in singing that hymn, Trust and Obey, it's only through the knowledge of truth and what God has revealed to us, this God-given knowledge of all these things and of the true character of our Heavenly Father, that we can trust. And when we've learned the true character of our Heavenly Father, then when we know that the Scriptures call to our attention that we're to become God-like, Christ-like. Now let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Well, when we think of that mind that was in Christ, we think of a sacrificial mind, yes. But we also think of that obedient mind, one that was obedient even before his coming here to earth. He was always an obedient son. And yet we think of some of the scriptures about where he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Just think of the number of scriptures that can come to your mind concerning obedience. Paul continually told us that he was obedient to the heavenly vision. Our Lord learned obedience by the things that he suffered. How? Well, we know that every Bible student recognized the fact that it was the new creature or the new mind that was learning the obedience. But he was made perfect through suffering, it says. But this obedience that the Lord learned, I know in thinking along this line, I thought of how disobedient we are. How we fall short in so many things that we can't render perfect obedience. And just think of our Lord and his life here among the imperfect beings. And for that 3.5 years, rendering perfect obedience, yet couldn't be appreciated by one that was walking with him, but very little. I think of some of the of his ministry, and when he would talk with certain disciples, they'd say that they'd hear him, and then he would make some dark saying, then they couldn't walk with him anymore. But here at this convention, we've heard a number of brethren give thoughts. Or maybe some thoughts we didn't thoroughly agree with. Some thoughts that we could wholeheartedly agree with. And yet, if we feel or let any feeling come within our heart toward a brother that expressed a thought contrary to our thought, then we'd be disobedient. What do I mean by that? Well, we've come together in convention to glorify our Father, to talk of these wonderful truths, telling one another how God is operating in our lives, how God has drawn us to Him, and studying the Heavenly Father's Word concerning this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're learning more and more of the purpose of our call. And all these things have to do with obedience. When we read the scriptures in John, throughout John's writings, say, little children, love one another. Do we? Do we actually love? Oh, sometimes, if we don't agree with one of our brethren, or we disagree, they'll say that he doesn't love me anymore. Well, now, we know that we can disagree in thought. But if we have a desire to help our brethren, we'll also, or we should, manifest the spirit of helpfulness when we're discussing our differences of opinion. And I think that it would not be obedient to the heavenly vision if we recognize the fact that God has given us this truth. If we have any truth at all, it's because God has revealed it to us. It's His truth, as we've had called to our attention. This is His plan. And when we are given any knowledge of it, it's because we have been cooperating with God. We've been walking in the Spirit. Because it's only through the Spirit of God that does He reveal these things to us. I've had this called to my attention. In Los Angeles, I'm leading a new, what they call a young people study. They're young brethren that are studying the scriptures, that they have a little Monday night study, that all these young brethren get together and study the scriptures. And it is my privilege to lead that study for 3 months. Oh, it's been a wonderful experience. These new minds and that childlike faith, it brings back memories of when we first got the truth. And entering into discussion with them, it isn't like some of us that has had the truth a long time, that when a brother expresses a thought that we just don't quite agree on, sometimes it's hard to sit still until you get the floor, until you can express the correct thought, or what we think is the correct thought. But the young brethren there, there may be a thought expressed that doesn't just quite go over with them. And do you know their common expression? Well, I might be down. Maybe I don't know just what it's all about, but I just don't get it. But then they'll go on and they'll express the thought that they think should be expressed. Well, it takes me back to when we used to think in those terms. Now that they're trying to be helpful, and they put the burden upon them that they maybe they're a little thick, but do they really feel that way? I don't think sometimes they do. But when we look back at our own experience in the truth, when we first was just drinking in the Word of God, we looked at our brethren; they looked wonderful to us. We couldn't see anything in them that would be bad. And we was marveling at all the gracious words that would come out of their mouths. All the precious promises. and the knowledge of the divine plan, when we learn something further of God's plans and purposes, we just marvel at it. And maybe it would be a scripture come up during our study. We just couldn't go to sleep that night until we'd go home and dig through the reprints and maybe all the things that we would have at our fingertips to find out just exactly what was the truth on that particular subject. Do we do that now? I hope we do. It was a rich experience, I know, for us at that time. That was when that first love was awakening to us, and when we were just drinking in the truth. And what happened? We were so busy drinking in the truth and learning how we could be obedient to all those things that we didn't see any wrong in anyone. Everything looked just perfectly lovely. When her brother would tell us about how they got the truth, we'd be thrilled. When they tell us of the experiences that the Heavenly Father was permitting to come upon them and how they were leading them day to day, we were so busy learning about those things that we weren't looking for anything else. Well, why do I speak of these things? Because when God tells us that we should look toward one another and look in one another for Christ's likeness, those aren't empty words. The Lord wants us to do that very thing. Why? Why, Lord? Why look at that in our brother? Well, when we got up here, as I stated, I felt shaky. I felt just a little nervous about talking about some of these things, or any time I address the Lord's people. But when I look into your faces, and when I think of my Lord and Savior, and the purpose of being up here, then I am strong in this weakness. The Lord makes me strong. That's the way He did with Brother McNee. That's the way He does with all our brethren. It's only when we have these things that we can talk about that is near and dear to our heart that can aid one another in making our calling election sure do we get the strength. And it's only in the Spirit of the Lord that we can have this strength. Now, I was thinking, in connection with this, of an experience of Israel. We've heard so much about the children of Israel and how much the Lord had did for them. And we know how they reacted under those experiences. And we thought we'd read from Exodus, the 24th chapter. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar, and the under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, sacrifice, peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half the blood, and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, and read it to the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient. Now, you know that they were sincere in that when they said that. Just as sincere as we were when we said, Lord, I've come to do thy will. When we had called her attention, like Brother Davis will be calling to many of her attentions in his talk on the immersion services, about that time when we come to make a covenant with the Lord. by sacrifice. We come to do His will. Now all these things we will do, Lord. What will we do? Well, we're going to lay our lives down daily in sacrifice. We want that same mind that was in Christ Jesus. We want to develop that same mind. We want to lay this down daily. We want to be dying daily. We meant that. Oh, but we had called our attention that we wouldn't be able to do it perfectly. But yet, we was also reminded that the Lord had made provisions whereby we can do that. We can offer an acceptable sacrifice to our Lord. And what was the Lord's word? Give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And that's what we're doing. The Lord is guiding us with His eyes. He's guiding us in our everyday living, in our actions. And now with our Lord in that 3.5 years that we mentioned a few moments ago, while He could do it perfectly, we can too through the provision that God has made through His Son. But we have something else. We have our brethren that can sympathize, can encourage, can comfort us in these discouraging moments. Are we doing it? That's why the Lord admonishes us that we should be very understanding of one another in their weaknesses, in their shortcomings. And do you know, dear friends, if we come to this convention, we come here with a chip on our shoulder, and we come here to pick flaws and mistakes in the various discussions and discourses, we're going to find them. Oh, the adversary will help you pick a lot of things, and you could be up here, or one could be up here, and one just studying and watching for those things, and maybe the Lord would have some particular point that could be made that you could miss entirely if you were looking for the other. You get just what you put in to the convention. You get it in return of a blessing. In other words, if you come here looking for a blessing, you're going to receive a blessing. If you come here to find fault, you're going to find things to find fault with. I come here for a blessing. I've received it thus far too. I received it even at the first talk. And I've received it throughout the entire convention. And I want it to be a stepping stone toward making my calling election sure. And I'm sure that it will be if I do not lose sight of some of the points and some of the things that has been called to my attention at this convention. You know, you couldn't talk about obedience without thinking of Samuel, and we've had that call to attention during this convention also. Remember Samuel and Saul? When Samuel told Saul of what the Lord wanted him to do, and how he was supposed to go out and to do a lot of slaying of animals and of even human beings, and some things that was awfully hard for Saul to see how that could be the Lord's will. You know the story. And you know that when Saul had gone out to do this work, when he came back to in answer to the Lord, he told Samuel that he'd performed everything as the Lord wanted him to perform. Everything. And what was it Samuel said? Well, how about the bleeding of those sheep? Remember what he did? He took some of the choice animals, and even that ruler that was so kind to Saul. Now, surely the Lord wouldn't think that it would be wrong to spare him, because he caused kindness to come upon Saul. How many things, dear friends, are we called upon as a footstep follower of the Lord that sometimes seem just a little bit unreasonable. We sometimes say, well, I don't see how the Lord's hand could be upon this. I think of one occasion over in a little class years ago that it was a brother that knew very little about the divine plan of the ages. He was a wonderful character, a lovely character. And we all loved him very much. And there was not enough that he could do for you. And he's a lovable person to be around. And so there was a mistake made one time of putting him up as an elder. Well, of course, he was put in as an elder. And when it come to discussing points of truth, he just didn't know different points of truth. And he didn't have the doctrines at all. He wasn't a teacher or a thing. And then that went on for a couple of 3 years that he was re-elected elder. Well, if I've heard one and I know I've made the same remark, I just can't bear to vote against him. I hate to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him. I love him so much. And I know that there was others. But finally the day came when he was voted out. Well, what happened? Well, it almost broke his heart. Then he figured that they all lectured, there was a lot of electioneering against him. He felt terrible about it. We all did. Well, was it love at first when they put him in? No, it was misdirected love. They were not obedient to the heavenly vision. That's another thing, dear friends. We can be so obedient in our conduct toward one another, treat one another very lovely, and always looking after their wants and wishes while we're around them and so forth. And yet, we can injure them terribly when it comes to the truth. I'm sure that that's what the Lord was accused of many times when he was here, when he's ministering to those about him, when he gave those hard sayings, that some of them didn't walk with him anymore. You know, to understand how God operates, as we had called our attention during this convention, you have to understand the things of the Spirit. And we know that the things of the flesh creeps in so often. And we get all mixed up in just what we should do and what we should not do. And that comes under the heading of obedience. Paul kept his eyes fixed upon the purposes and the plans of God. And everything that he did was with the thought in mind of glorifying God. How about the Son? But we have this also called our attention, that every time that he performed a miracle, and when some would marvel at the things that he did, he'd say, well, my Father's greater than I. He'd always direct them to the Father. And that's the purpose of each of our thoughts on our ministries here from this platform, is to direct you to the Heavenly Father, to glorify our Father, and to help you to appreciate his glorious character. And the only way that we can do it is by manifesting the Spirit of the Father and of his Son. I'd like to read from Philippians, the second chapter. Well, we'll start with the first verse. However, it starts out with a therefore. If there be no therefore, which we should start back just a few verses. Well, let's start with the 27th verse of the first chapter of Philippians. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I read this just before the meeting. I was just thinking, they have a recording going over here, and we know that the one that is up here is on the spot of just what they say. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have something like this day in and day out? Wouldn't we be more careful of all the things that we do, the things we'd say? But you know, dear friends, that we do have. The Lord has. The Lord has. We can kid one another. We can fool one another. We can be lovely people in convention, in meetings. But what counts? It's the daily activities. As we go about using these things that we're learning now in our daily experiences, that's what counts. Oh, when we heard the brother say that we might preach to others and become a castaway ourselves, that is possible. So it's one thing to tell one how to do these things. Another thing is to do them. With the Lord's grace, we can do them. Because not a one of us here has been called by our Heavenly Father, but what they'll be able to make their calling election sure, because He assures us that all the forces that be for us is so much more than all that can be against us. So then, our conversation does mean something when we're apart from our brethren. And that enters into our conduct also. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. But having the same conflict which ye have saw in me, and now here to be in me. Of course, we're thinking of Paul here, that had been with these brethren, that he knew that they'd gone through many experiences with them, and he had said here previous, in his previous verses, how that when he was away, and he'd get a good report, oh, how he would rejoice. And as I heard the various brethren talk about natural Israel, I couldn't help but think of Paul and what he thought of his natural brethren back there. Do you remember his desire? He said that if he could just impart this knowledge that he had, of this hope that he had, and he could help them to appreciate that so much as they could accept it, he'd be willing to be blotted out completely. Do you feel that way about your brethren? That's what we have to be, dear friends. If we make our calling election sure, we have to think of our brethren, to where if we could aid any one of them to make their calling election sure, that we wouldn't have our self in the picture at all. Just forget ourselves. That we could be meet for the Master's use when we're like that. We see that that is the purpose of giving us the truth and the knowledge of the truth, that we might be a blessing and a help to the body of Christ and aiding them to make their calling election sure. Just think of all those holy men of old that desire to look into all these things that we have access to now. And oh, how they long to be a blessing to those about them. How they long to aid those and to be a blessing to all their fellow men. And I'm sure that when they was given those instructions in the law, if they do these things, that they would be that seed, I'm sure that thrilled their heart. And to think that now we know that it is possible for us to become that promised seed, a part of that blessed seed that is going to bless all the families of the earth, that we can really be a means by which the foregoing creation will know that Father of ours, will know their God, and can long enjoy the works of their own hands. Yes, and we also think of David. Oh, no, how he realized how undone he was, and the mistakes he would make, and how sorrowful he was for all his mistakes. And how he wanted to know so many things that it wasn't possible to make known to him. Daniel's another one, how he prayed to know all these things, and yet it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Just think of that. How thankful we should be. And to think that when we do study his word, that he's opened our eyes of understanding, and that our ears, that we can hear the truth, that he's made it possible that we can read these things and say, that's the most reasonable thing I've ever read. And yet, to the fleshly mind, could read these very same things, say, that's the most unreasonable thing I ever heard tell of. And some of them say, well, it might be reasonable, some of these things, but it's too good to be true. And yet, to us, when we think of some of the simple truths, when I mean simple, it's not because of our intelligence, our ability to understand them, but it's because God has revealed them to us. And they sometimes can become very commonplace to us too. And that we don't want. Then the second chapter says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What is that one in mind? Well, we hear so much of unity, how we all have that same spirit and see eye to eye. I think it's possible, but not in the sense that some think it's possible. If we keep very small in our own eyes, if we keep an obedience to the heavenly vision, and we're thinking of the outcome of all these things, then I'm sure that we can start over. I lost my thought. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort or love, if any fellowship or spirit in the bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of the one accord or the one mind. In other words, if this oneness in purpose, the oneness in the outcome of all these things, then these little points of differences, while we will have, but if we have the spirit of learning, the spirit of meekness and humility, that is the one in spirit. Then God can teach us. He can instruct us in his ways. We'll be teachable. I was struck with the very thought here last night, and heard Brother Baker talking of the number of years that he's known of the truth. Then I've noticed him when these other talks was going on, sitting with his ear, listening to every point of truth. Then after the talk, well, that was a fine talk. I enjoyed it, and I heard some thoughts there that I hadn't thought of before. Well, you see, he's still teachable, still childlike. That's what the Lord loves. As long as we remain in that condition of heart and mind, dear friends, we won't get to the point where we start breaking out with writing or having our own ideas, because we'll be to the point to where we can still be taught of the Lord. And some of the infants and the babes in Christ can be the best teachers. We know that's true. in natural life, how many lessons do you learn from the children that you have raised? And some of the things that they ask you, some of the things that they do. And when we think of obedience, I think of a child that you'll say, well, now, I'm raising one I know now, a grandchild. And if he does something and then comes to me and tells me he did it because he wanted to be pleasing to me, well, I can just love him to death. But if I tell him to do something and then he doesn't want to do it, that hurts too, doesn't it? But in the experiences of life with these little ones, and you see how they react, you think of your own experience in the school of Christ and see how we react sometimes. Some of the things we don't want to do. And when we think of our brethren, and some of them are going through trials and difficulties, we won't be to the point where we say, I don't see, as much as that brother and sister knows of the truth, why she'd react that way. Then, dear friends, if we're taking this truth that God has revealed to us and looking at the character of God, and it doesn't enlarge your heart, then there's something wrong. It should make us more understanding, more sympathetic of our brethren. And not only the brethren, but of the world. And if we're not, we're disobedient, dear friends, because that's the purpose of Him giving us the truth, that we might become God-like and Christ-like. So when we think of some of our studies, some of our meetings, and see if someone that is trying to force their opinion upon you, now discussion is wonderful, and we should have discussion. But let us remember that the point to be gained is that we get the truth. That's something else I learned in that young class there in Los Angeles. They'd had some difficulties in different points of truth. So there's a brother that got up and had to give a summary of the past 3 months' study. This brother got up and said, well, I don't know whether I've got all the points straight or not. But he says, I'm going to express them just the way that I see them. But he says, I want the truth. And by me expressing these points the way I see them, I know that they'll raise many questions in other minds. And then after the meeting, I want to know the truth concerning these things. Now, dear friends, that's a wonderful attitude. Let us not ever get to the point that we feel as though that we know all the answers and we can't be taught anything. If we do, we lose sight of everything we ever did know. Because the Lord says so, and those are not empty words. Yes, it's one thing, dear friends, to have the truth, and we know that we received it in a good and honest heart, and we know that we agreed that we were going to strive to the very best of our ability to be obedient to all these things. That we're going to look and to love our brethren. That we're going to try to exercise the pure love for one another. That we're not going to misdirect our love. That we're going to walk as the Lord walked, to the very best of our ability. And the Lord says that if you have that thought in mind, He'll give us that strength. How are we going to get the strength? He says that we can go to the heavenly throne of grace at any time. He's never too busy. And He says, I'll give you that strength and that aid. And that's the thing, dear friends, that we want to keep in our minds. That when we're told that we should be this and that to one another, that it's for a purpose. It's to get rid of old self. All some of the experiences we have sometimes, when we think that sometimes we'll boast that, well, I'm not selfish, and I'm very forgiving, and I'm this and I'm that, and then something will come along that will just shake you right on up and let you know that you do have some selfishness and that you're not quite as well developed as you ought to be. I know I have them all the time. The very things that I say that I feel that I've learned, the Lord has to give me experiences to teach me that I haven't gotten just as well as I should have them. And I think we're all that way. Then we think of the, you notice in Paul's argument here, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, that's the fifth verse, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now we know that the act of disobedience back there when the adversary tempted our first parents, we know that that was an act of disobedience. It caused the whole condition that we see about us here. We see that all those that God has been picking out here as footstep members has been a result of that disobedient act back there. That now what God has to draw from is an undone human being. But oh, how the wisdom of God. We know then when the kingdom is established, God will get the glory. Because when he can step down here and pick from the undone condition these poor groaning creatures and make of them a member of his family, who's going to get the glory? Why, our Heavenly Father. Just think of that wonderful power exerted there to make of the human family, members of the human family, a member of the divine family and all that it means. And when we think of being made into Christ's likeness, one that is so understanding, one that could render perfect obedience. I know that there's not a one in the hearing of my voice right now that wouldn't just be thrilled if they thought that they could go out of this hall and render perfect obedience. Never be misunderstood. But yet, the Lord, through his wisdom, knew that by picking, we that had this, all these infirmities, that through his training program, that those that would be successful in making their calling election sure would be those that could sympathize with their brethren. You see, it's a development work. And that's the only purpose that he's given us the truth. So we can remain small in our own eyes and knowing that it's God-given, that it isn't our own intelligence, or because we're a little bit better students than anybody else, it's because of our humility and our desire to be godlike and Christlike. And he says, now you give me your hearts, I'm going to see about the experiences that will be necessary to develop you into Christlikeness and into my likeness. And that's a wonderful promise. So there's a purpose behind everything that our Heavenly Father requires of us. It isn't going to be a reward just for being a good boy. That's part of it. But in being a good boy, we'll be accomplished. There'll be two things accomplished. There'll be something that the Father can entrust us with, and that's the kingdom. Because then we won't be playing any favorites. We won't be looking at any of the human family because they look something like a member of our own, a member of the human family. We won't be any favorites. No, we'll be thinking of the blessing of all the families of the earth. They'll all look alike to us, just the same as they do to our Heavenly Father now. And just think that God has revealed these things to us now that we might look about us now and appreciate one another in our undone conditions. And the thing that he tells us, when we see one that's overtaken in a fault, instead of trying to find fault or pointing out their faults to others, how much better it'd be to get on our knees and pray for that one and think of some way that you might be able to get around, that you could help the brother or sister in overcoming that. And maybe when you were doing that, maybe that same one that you were trying to help might say something that might be a great help to you and a great blessing to you. Because the Lord, when you put forth the least little effort to help one of your brethren, the Lord says that you're doing it to Him. And that's what it means. It's when we're trying to work out these things for our brethren that we have the interest of the body of Christ at heart. And why the body of Christ? That they might pour out God's Spirit upon all flesh, that they too might know the Lord and love the Lord and appreciate His goodness and His plan of salvation for all of them. Oh, what a God and what a Father. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, that is our Lord, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now it thrills our heart when we hear things like that, when we read such as that. Why? Well, I'm sure that to those that make their calling election sure, when they meet that great convention on the other side, there won't be some of the brethren get up there and say, "Remember, I told you that it would be that way and it would be this way and everything." But what will it be? "Oh, I'm so glad that you didn't make it. I was striving to the very best of my ability to help you." And there'll be some brother or sister get up and say, "Now I know by a certain experience that come to me, and you was a party to us. I see why God did direct you just that way. Because how do I know that that's going to be true? Because it says that God is placing the members in His bodies that pleaseth Him. But these body members are going to function perfectly on the other side. And God has need of every member of the body of Christ. And so they're going to be able to appreciate one another on the other side, because they'll be able to see that the working of God's hand upon all the various members in aiding them to make their calling election sure. And just think, when you'll be able to look back and see all those ancient worthies that died in faith, not having received the promise, and see them receive the promises, then, because without us they can't receive them, but then we'll see them realize their hopes and their ambitions, which were pure and noble, but unable to perform perfectly, and not able to understand as we understand. Oh, may God grant each and every one of you the strength and the spirit that will carry you on to make your calling election sure. Amen.
I know from what I observed in the attention of the audience here that I can speak for all of you, and I thank Brother Fay very much for his very frank and honest suggestions concerning this matter of obedience, the thing that is perhaps the most essential of any one thing in our learning and in our conduct. Well, friends, I've had another request for a picture. Brother Sam? I'm sorry, my voice is thick today. I'll raise it a little higher. I've had another request for a picture, and I would like to bespeak your cooperation, because I'm sure that the one that wants the picture will be glad to cooperate with you in supplying it at a non-profit cost if you want a copy. Brother Graber would like to have the audience remain seated for about 2 minutes after this close this meeting so that he can get a snap if you don't object. And I hope you won't. And then later in front of the building, somebody would like another picture. At 3:30, in just a half an hour, we'll have a testimony meeting led by Brother Cooper of Victoria. Will you all try to get your conversing done by 3:29 and be in your seats 3:30? It will help.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we approach the heavenly throne of grace at the close of this study, we desire to thank Thee, Father, for Thy sweet Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, Father, for the knowledge that we have, and we pray for a stronger desire to be a blessing to one another and to glorify Thy holy name. We pray, Father, that Thou will continue to be with the remainder of this convention, with those that will minister unto us, and bless each heart here. May we go home refreshed and determined to keep on keeping on. We ask in Jesus, our Redeemer's name. Amen.